Good morning.
Or good afternoon for you. Or no, it's still morning.
That's still morning. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, your internet's doing pretty good. usually when I talk to you, it's in the red.
That's because I talked to the kids.
Daryl was giving Barb shit because he heard the last episode and he was texting Barb. He's like, Mike should treat Harley like Bill treats his kids. He raised them right. He goes Uh-oh. Outside and runs out and carries her inside, and whereas you say, get off the internet.
Yep, and you're fussing over her poor little cold paws.
Yeah, it's like he's saying you're spoiling her. Well, Bill is the better parent and disciplinarian. But I said I don't have all those tapes out either. Like I don't buy your tapes because I have a dog. I didn't know it could apply to dogs.
Oh, that's my. Hey, what's this cat? No, I got a cat in my office.
You have you're a not cat. Allowed,
you're not allowed in the comic book room. This you precious.
Have, you have a cat. What?
Yeah, we have a cat.
I didn't.
Yeah, we
know
got a
that.
Cat.
When did you get a cat?
I got a cat. Earlier this year.
I have to clean off the table. Oh, and Barb's like saying, get the fucking, like, there's comics everywhere and she needs to eat. Stand by, I have to move some comics out of the way so she won't get breadcrumbs on my comic books.
Just slide them over.
Because she won't. She'll just put it on top and she'll say, that's your fault.
Oh, come here, cat. You gotta go. Beat it. Hit the road. Yeah, so my new series of pet raising books will be coming out
in
the spring or in the fall.
And that's what you do? Yep. You kicked your cat out of the room?
I kicked that fucker right out.
I didn't know you had a cat.
Yeah, we actually got it. I said earlier this year, but I forgot that it's 2015 now. So we got it last summer.
You're really... Don't have any concept of time. I thought I was bad.
Well, it's like winter. Winter is the end of the year, right?
Yeah. We've had this cat since I was 12. Wow. I didn't know this. The pet tapes are coming.
Yeah, pet tapes. I'm working on those.
You can use not... as one of the bad cases, I guess. Yeah. Not to say. Do.
If your dog goes out and gets cold paws, do not bring it in and warm the paws under your underarms while stroking the dog pet on the head.
Yeah. Poor things.
While it's shedding a tear for its poor little cold paws.
Yeah.
But that's sad. If Daryl is approving my techniques, I might have to change my methods.
That's right.
That's not the greatest endorsement I've heard for raising kids. If Daryl approves of your method of raising kids,
then you better change.
But my CDs are already out there, so.
See, Daryl's got a couple kids. You just never see him because he like locks them in the dungeon.
Got them locked away.
Yeah, never see him.
Working on comic books.
I don't know what they're doing. So what's going on? How's the weather out there?
It is nice. It's been in the like, I think it was the 50s yesterday, and then a couple of days ago it was in the 60s.
Well, that's good.
It's beautiful. Yesterday we went to my in-laws' house, and my son and I were in the backyard throwing snowballs, and it was like 60 degrees.
The snowballs haven't melted.
Well, because there's still snow like in the shade where there were big
Well, that's
piles
pretty
of
good
snow.
because they're like slush balls. Those hurt.
Yeah, they're like it's like icy.
Yeah, those things when they have like when they're like at that phase, they really hurt.
Yeah, because they're like crystallized.
Just throwing like ice at somebody instead of snow.
But they broke apart easy. They weren't like hard, so it was actually worked pretty well.
As you have like five or six welts on your skin.
It was fun playing, throwing snow in the grass, the sunny grass, smoking some grass. My son.
Jesus.
Isn't what it's called when you're playing in the yard, smoking the grass?
I don't think so. Maybe in your world.
I must be confused. Smoking the grass. That's when you have like a barbecue in your lawn, in your backyard.
You're burning it. You're burning the
Yeah.
grass.
Well, you gotta throw some grass in there to give it a good flavor, give the meat the good
Oh,
flavors.
and you're well, you don't barbecue any meat, so I could see
Well, when
why.
I say meat, I mean
Smoke
tofu.
some grass.
Yeah,
Yeah.
smoke some grass. I love going out and smoking some grass on the porch.
Some mushrooms.
You can actually smoke grass on your porch, and it's legal. You can smoke all the grass you want.
You have to do it illegal.
Yeah, I think I do it illegally.
You're sitting out there barbecuing and it's illegal.
They don't want you to burn grass in your barbecue because of the
Yeah.
fumes or something, carcinogens or something stupid like that. It's a myth. It's a myth about carcinogens, which we know come from the aliens.
That's right.
They injected it into our bloodline long ago.
You really think they're aliens?
I think there's probably life forms out there somewhere. I don't think they've ever been to our planet.
Yeah, you don't think so?
Nah. I think it'd be cool.
You think?
Well, any
Maybe.
inhabitable planet we found is like so damn far away.
Yeah, but there's they could put them people to sleep and send out a ship with lasers and technology to destroy worlds.
That's true.
You don't know if they're friendly.
Wouldn't we see evidence of exploded planets out there?
Maybe their sun is dying and they have to
I
leave
have to
their whole
find a new.
population. Yeah, they have to find a new place to live. So they put themselves to sleep for billions of years. And then they wake up, and then they're at Earth. And then they're in your backyard and say, "Why is this guy smoking grass?"
I feed them some and they die because of the
Because of the carcinogen.
carcinogens. Problem solved.
There you
Well, I
go.
figure, how big is this ship? I mean, how many
Well,
people can they fit on this ship? I
who,
guess it could be
well,
one of those giant ones.
why does it have to be one ship? Why can't it be a whole fleet like in Battlestar Galactica?
That's true.
Yeah, see, I have to help you with along with these kind of plots because
I forget the details.
yeah, you get too caught up in the technology and you start thinking inside the box instead of outside the box. Good thing you have me. So your internet is going out again.
Son of a bitch. Now it says it's okay.
Oh,
I don't know what happened.
did you lose it? Are you
Yeah.
having problems with your internet?
I was, but it looks okay now. It might have just been a funky
Comodina.
Comodina,
Tone loc.
He's okay. He's kind of a dick, but.
Why would you say that?
Well, last time he was over here, we were smoking some grass in the back. He wouldn't eat my tofu burgers.
Yeah, I don't think many people would.
I told him the grass infused, man. Grass infused.
I hope
Says so bullshit. He
it
left.
is. He's not stupid.
He's a multinational
We saw him like
award
recently,
winner.
maybe, well, 5 years ago or so. He was singing the Funky Comadina in the Pepsi Center.
That like a big auditorium? I thought you were gonna say like in the mall.
Is that a big auditorium? That's where the Nuggets and the Avalanche play. I know you're a sports fan, so you don't
I
know.
don't know the names of all the stadiums across the globe.
Do you know the name of the stadiums anywhere?
I know Wrigley Field. I know the
Okay.
Chicago stadiums. And I learned on Facebook that the Sky Dome is no longer the Sky Dome. It's now, I don't remember, the Rogers Center, I think.
Ah.
So there you go. And I know that the Nuggets play in the Astrodome. What say? The American Center. What'd you call it?
The Pepsi Center?
The Pepsi Center. I know there's a Staples
Whoever
Center.
sponsors it.
I know, really. I could just name off some companies, and they
Let's say
probably have
the Bomer
stadiums.
Stadium.
The Burger King Stadium. No, they're usually like, Does Microsoft have a stadium?
I
It's usually
don't
like
know.
cellular companies.
I've kind of gone out of the sports world.
Cellular
I used
One.
to follow sports a lot. Now I have to ask Barb. It's like I don't give a shit anymore. I just rather read comic books.
Yeah, you're growing. You're growing.
I'm
You're becoming more mature.
growing.
Don't need the silly sports when you have such fantastic stories being told in the perfect medium.
That's right. There is
It's
no
comic
better
books.
medium.
There
Speaking of,
is no medium that,
go
or
ahead.
the comics are the best medium that because they allow anything can happen in a comic book. There's no limits
That's right.
in any direction.
And they're pretty, the most expensive medium, I'm saying.
But not the most expensive to produce, just to
Yeah.
consume.
I hear prices are going up again.
Really? From the
4.99. I think people are bitching about 4.99, but it's like just because they're launching at 4.99 doesn't mean they're going to be 49.99. Just
Oh,
because they
yeah,
might
like
have
so
some extra pages, like, hey, we're
that's
kicking this off.
yeah. Yeah, I know some of the Marvel number ones next or that were in previews were $4.99. Yeah, I assume that was just the. Well, I assume they're going to do some bullshit where they do the regular story and then they do like an old issue.
Yeah, I bought the 50% off bundle.
The bundle.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm getting a couple of the Marvels. I'm not sure yet which. I don't remember which ones.
All the number ones.
All the number ones. There's a
There's
lot
going to
of
be a lot of them.
them. Because everyone's rebooting all at the same time. If one company
Yes.
reboots, the other one has to reboot too. It's the rules.
Speaking of number ones, have you read any number ones?
Don't know if I read any number ones.
Wow, this might be a geek brunch
First.
first.
Oh, wait, here's a number one. Yeah, I
Oh,
read some number ones.
damn it.
It's impossible for if I hadn't read a number once, then I probably wouldn't have read anything. We want to talk about
Don't
Suiciders number one.
Suiciders? Sure. I thought you were
Because I
going
know
to
you
say
read
something
that.
else, and I was going to say, son of a bitch.
What do you think I was going to say?
The Roman ritual. I forgot to read that damn thing.
That's number two. Yeah, what the hell?
I don't know, man. I fell down on my job.
You went down another hole.
I went down another rabbit hole.
It happens.
But yeah, we could talk Suiciders number one by Lee Bermejo.
Yes, from Vertigo.
And he's writing.
Yes, he's writing and drawing.
Drawing.
I don't know, has he written anything before?
I don't think so.
I don't know if I don't know if he's done a full length thing before.
I know he's drawn stuff before.
Yes. Yes, he is very artistic. He can do the colors in this. I wonder, does he usually do his own colors?
That I don't know.
I kind of figured he did his own colors, but maybe not. So he has a very kind of, is it like a, would you say it's like a realistic type style?
Yeah. It's a, I don't know, it's a hard style
to pinpoint.
Pinpoint. He has his own inker. The colorist is Matt Hollingsworth.
And I did like the colors. So I like the art. The art was probably the high point of it for me. The story, it was an interesting concept, but I have no idea where the story is going from here. And that's kind of my main problem with it. The way they set it up, it's like a post-apocalyptic kind of world, right?
Well, to me, it looked like the inverse of Escape from New York. In other words, Escape from New York, you do not want to go in, try to get out. Whereas this one, there were people trying to get in.
Right. There's like, it's like a post-apocalyptic type world, but then there's this society, this city, this exclusive city that's like has all the money, and everyone wants to get into it.
It has the guards on the outside too. It's well protected.
Yeah, they got their border patrol.
Yeah,
trying to keep people from getting in. And then they have these dudes who are fighting, the Suiciders, which I'm not really sure why they were fighting.
It seems like that's the only thing to keep peace. It's like a modern-day gladiator coliseum thing. And it, not only do the courses have, like, they have to fight another gladiator, they have to fight all the things that are going on in the coliseum. Like, there's lasers and stuff shooting and all kinds of crazy shit.
Obstacles and stuff.
Yeah.
And we follow the one guy is the champion, and he's fighting this new guy. The Saint of Suicides is, like, the hero. And we kind of get to know him a little bit.
Through...
But not a lot.
Well, yeah, reporters interviewing him, right?
Yeah, at the beginning of reporters interviewing him, but he doesn't give away a whole lot about himself.
Really, those are the only two characters that they've introduced. I mean, there's the guards on, you know, that are guarding the facility. Then there's the people that are there. There's the one guy that helps smuggle people in.
Right, because there's kind of two stories going on. The one with this Suiciders guy is fighting, and then there's two people who are trying to get smuggled into the city. And I guess the only other main character is the smuggler guy who goes with them. I think because he's on the cover, so I assume he's going to be a major character, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
The guy with the red thing over his face.
I liked it. It wasn't as smooth as it could have been. You know, like a smooth read.
Mm-hmm.
But the concepts and stuff and the art were there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's an interesting.
I liked it. It set the concept up. It gave you some characters, and I haven't seen stuff like this. I mean, I've seen like post-apocalyptic gladiator things, but it's a little bit different take on it.
Yeah, I just wish he had set up more of the story, like where it's headed, because right now I have no idea.
It's a fight
Like,
club.
I assume it's gonna follow the main fighter guy, but I don't know what his goal is or what his mission's gonna be or anything.
Sanctuary, to find sanctuary, like in Logan's Run. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see where that goes.
But you'll see in a, like 6 months from now,
Right.
or a year.
Right. I'll
Whereas
see someday.
I'll see it
You'll see it
next
probably
month.
in. You won't read it next month, though.
You
You'll
do
probably see
not
it
know that. You
three
do
or four
not know
months. You'll see
that.
it 3 or 4 months from now.
Sometimes I get right back in, you know, when I do that, when I wait a long time, and sometimes it's kind of jarring, because I like read Death, what is it, Death Match number 8,
Okay.
and I remember, I know you just reread them, or you started
Yeah,
with book
I
one and
reread
then
it.
just reread it.
Yeah.
I think that would read good in a one sitting, but I read the issue. It was kind of jarring, is with the Samaritan and the anti-Samaritan fighting. You know, it's like their Superman analog, I guess. And he's got like a Bizarro type analog that looks like a dark, ominous cloud sometimes. But that was a weird story to jump right back into.
Yeah, that was a weird
And
one.
I knew the whole concept, like I remembered everything, which is good. I remembered that, you know, this alien race brought all these superheroes into this fight club to fight to the end. But the thing that I forgot was all the relationships between the characters. Do you know what I mean? I didn't remember who was on whose side.
Right, and all the dynamics
Yeah, and
of
all the dynamics of them.
who's teaming up, or who's, yeah, teaming up with who and what plans they have and things. Yeah.
Because they had that one guy with the crazy, like, cybernetics. He had, like, a weird name. And, like, he pretty much just told the one girl to kill him. Like, because he's in so much pain, I guess. Like, his
Yeah,
whole
he's
thing
like
is, he's like cyborg. But it
yeah.
just
Or
hurts. He's, like,
what
in
was that
constant
Eric
pain.
Larson character?
Oh, God. I don't know.
Is that like Patriot or something? The Patriot.
Oh, Super Patriot.
Yeah, Super Patriot. It's kind of like that. Where most of his body is now robotic.
But I never got the impression that Super Patriot was in constant pain.
No.
This guy was like in excruciating pain.
Right.
The only reason he went out is and do good is because he thought, well, if I don't do it, who's gonna do it? And then when he was in this world, he kind of had this like, I'm just gonna give up now, you know. I have
Can't take it
nothing.
anymore.
Yeah, just take my life. He told that one person to take his life. He sacrificed himself. Whereas the anti-Samaritan just tore apart the Samaritan and left his like intestines on the ground and took his head right off. But yeah, I was getting back into that.
That's a good one. I like that series. Gets weird near the end, but it's good still.
Yeah, I heard a couple people didn't like the ending, but I guess we'll find out what happens. I get so many books that it just pisses me off when I forget an issue, because I don't catch it till months later. God, it pisses me off.
Oh, you mean when you forget to order one or pick one up?
Yeah, because sometimes or my shop forgets to put it in my box and I don't catch it.
Yeah.
It's easy to do. It's easier than you think. If you get 10 books a month and you know you get those 10 books, it's easy to remember if you miss an issue. You get 200.
Right. Yeah, you don't know number six of some issue
And then you
some
don't read
series
it for
came out.
6 months down the road and you're like, "Holy crap, I missed it." And yeah, there's Comixology, but then you have to go find the issue or else you have an incomplete set. For you, it's not a big deal because you just buy the trade. But sometimes trades are expensive. If you miss that trade, and I mean the thing about trades is when they go out of print, my God.
Yeah, they
Like
scalp.
an example of that is DC used to do these things called Chronicles. They were trade paperbacks that started at the very beginning of the character. Like Batman Chronicles would start at the very beginning and then print the issues in the order that they came out. And you can still get volume one, but you go to volume two and it's like 70 or $80 for a 1999 trade.
Yeah.
So the out of print thing is like dangerous. I mean, like for a collector, you would hope that trades were just like print on demand, like kind always keep 10 in stock or something, but
Yeah, now they retire stuff. Especially.
retire them early too, because I think that line is dead.
If they kill a line, then they'll just stop them.
And I was stupid. I didn't jump on that bandwagon. When in actuality, it would have been a good bandwagon from an historical perspective to be on. I only went onto the bandwagon with Wonder Woman, Flash, and Green Lantern. I didn't do it with Superman and Batman, which frustrates me.
Yeah, it can be nice to have those on hand.
Yeah.
But you probably have those issues like reprinted somewhere, right? Some of them.
Not most of them.
Yeah.
Though, not the Golden Age stuff. A lot of the Silver Age stuff, and I can, find the Golden Age stuff. I don't have too much of it. And that's the hard shit to get, too. Like,
Aren't they available like in other collections
well,
though?
I bought my first National Comics.
I
My
saw.
very first one with
I
Uncle
saw.
Sam.
It was nice.
Yeah, so like I have like three Dollmans. One of the issues has Dollman in it, and then I have another Uncle Sam. Which I always wanted to get one, but they were like really expensive, and I just decided not to get it. And where are they? I must have took them upstairs. Damn it! At least I hope I took them upstairs. Thought I had them right here, but I guess I don't. I have the Dollmans. But yeah, I got those issues, and it was pretty awesome.
You order those online or get them
No, I
locally?
got the. This is an interesting story. I guess this guy passed away, right? And he was a hoarder here in Colorado. Like a massive hoarder, where like you see on the TV shows, where you just have stacks of shit
Stacks of comic books like all over the
piled to the
table and
ceiling.
stuff.
No. They weren't on the
I
table. Oh, you're making fun of me.
know.
I get that. You're poking the bear. No, this is worse. This is the extreme case where they just hoard everything.
Where you can't, there's like one
They
path
can't
through the room.
throw away their toilet paper. This it was so he went to go clean the building and or the room, and he found he was going through stacks and stacks
Wait,
of like old
who was going
old
through it?
th this guy that was cleaning it, whoever got hired to do it.
Okay.
And it's like the building just say clean it. You can keep anything you find in there. Just make sure that you can clean it and sanitize it, I guess.
Just wipe off all the poop.
Yeah. So he went through like piles and piles of newspaper, and he found a treasure trove of like Golden Age comics, not in bags, not in boards, just stacked in between the papers and stuff. And he found All-Star Comics number 3. He had like all these Golden Age treasures in there. He found at least 55 Golden Age books. A couple of them were key, like an Action Comics and a More Fun Comics. And yeah, he and a lot of them, because they were stacked, like correctly in piles, they weren't in bad shape.
Right, because they were
At least in
protected by all
BG.
the other
And
stuff.
BG Golden Age is really good. Do you know what I mean? Because we're talking the 40s.
Right, so for what they were, they're in great condition.
Yeah.
Well, they're probably protected by every.
Well,
No light was probably able to get to them or anything, and they probably weren't moved in forty years.
it's also a funny story. Is I just went in there during my lunch break. Sometimes during lunch, on Wednesdays, I'll just go get my books, and I only stay there like 10 minutes. But I asked him for my pull, you know, my box, which I get a lot of the DC still at the shop, and then everything else from DCBS. So he hands me my books, and inside of there is this big plastic container, and he threw an All-Star Comics number 3 in my box. And then I couldn't like speak for like 10 minutes. I was like, this thing is like freaking amazing. And then I flipped it over and I saw the price, and I was like, Ed, this is way out of my league, man. It said 10 grand.
Man. What did he have it in?
Like,
did he put in a hard case or something?
It was wrapped in a Golden Age bag and board, and then it was put in Mylar, and then it was in those. Have you ever seen those, like, hard plastic?
Yeah, like snap things.
No, these are like the hard plastic, but they're not sealed. They have an opening at the top.
Okay.
He had it in one of those. And then he says, but you could get it for half off. Well, no, I marked it. He marked it down to 5 grand, because of the, he was told that it's missing a center page, but it didn't affect the story. But a center page missing, if you go to your grading guide, means you take it all the way down to poor.
Yeah.
Well, it's weird. It's either a 0.5 or a 1.0, and it's really ambiguous. It's a 1.0 if it's a center page only, and it doesn't affect story. And it's weird because you can cut out coupons and have a better grade, but if you're missing a piece of the story, it's all the way down, you know, to like nothing, 0.5, which is still a lot of money. But yeah, I can't spend that much for a comic book. But I like had it in my hands for a long time. It was pretty awesome.
So how much is it worth, like at a 0.5, or like a 1?
At a 1, it's probably anywhere between upper 5 grand to 10 grand, and it depends, because in Golden Age you get into the weird. If you start studying Golden Age, which I wouldn't recommend because it's too expensive, but if you start studying it. A lot of them restore it, and a lot of the graders, they actually tell you it's, you know, we restored it. They go through like a cleaning process, and I have no idea what that cleaning process is, but they actually repair chips and stuff in a book. Mm-hmm. So restored book, like I'll start like on eBay would go for 10 grand, but that's if somebody would buy it, right? Because, you know, some people might be a stickler. Like, I wouldn't want a restored book.
Right, don't want a restored book because it's not.
You don't know. It's not pristine. It's
modified.
It's pristine looking, but it's modified.
Yeah.
It's and not, what did they do to modify it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'd rather have.
How in depth? I'd rather have the chips have in it and all that crap in there.
The painted or paint, nail polish painted.
Yeah, or the non-white pages. You know what I mean? I don't want. Even though I hear they look really. Like people that restore books, they know what the hell they're doing. You know what I mean? It's not like it's not some guy getting like white out just putting on the page. They like know what they're doing, and
they just pour vinegar on the pages, right?
Yeah. That's the cleanest thing.
Just bleach to them. Right. They're doing whatever like museums do to restore like ancient documents or whatever.
Yeah. So
they have the technology. Now the one thing they do to books, which I only found out about like, I don't know, a year ago or so, I didn't know they did this, is pressing.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I don't think that you have to, like, if you get a book pressed, I don't think that you have to list, like, I don't think they mark it as changed, right?
I in don't know. Is press like taking your pants to the laundry cleaner and getting it pressed? What does press mean?
You take your comic books. But my understanding is that they just press, like, they press it to take out like the creases and stuff.
Oh, okay.
So it just like I don't know. I don't know what the technical.
I don't know what that would
side be. Of it is.
Like
but...
you're way out of my grading. Well, Golden Age grading is way out of my expertise. I know what the grading guide says, but when you get into restoration and all that crap,
Yeah, stuff you can
like
do.
CGC will even grade your Golden Age, and they'll color code the top rim of the CGC if it's been restored.
Right.
And
Yeah, they make it obvious.
it's actually treated differently. But yeah, I'd love to have this thing in my collection 'cause it looks complete. And it look if you look at the cover, it looks really good. Like it looks really good. It's got a roll like a the Golden Age books were th they're thick. We're talking it seems like Golden Age comics were like 80 pages and there were always anthology. They almost seem like more fun and National Comics is like you have an Uncle Sam story, he's like 10 pages. And then you got a dozen or so other characters, do you know what I mean? And they're filling the rest of the pages and you got funny characters in there and crazy other stuff happening. But I bought that and I bought a Wiz Comics featuring Shazam and I'm glad I got that one 'cause that was like in fine condition and somebody came back like after me asking for it 'cause the guy told me. And I've been getting into Captain Marvel like big time.
Yeah, I thought you were getting some of those.
Yeah, like Wiz Comics, Master Comics, the Marvel family stuff, and I really love that shit. So if I can get it and it's something in my range, I will pick it up. So I got that one and a couple others, but yeah, I had All-Star Comics number 3. My God.
In your box.
The first appearance of the Justice Society of America. I swear, if it was number 8, Barb would have probably killed me, but that would have been the first appearance of Wonder Woman, and anybody that knows me knows I love Wonder Woman, and oh Lord.
To have the first, yeah, first appearance of Wonder Woman.
Oh God.
You'd be, I don't know what you'd be.
A dead man.
Dead man.
Dead man walking.
Yeah, I saw the National. That's pretty awesome. I still have to pick up that book.
Oh, the quality. I
Yeah.
want. I'm glad you mentioned that. I want to go find it because I'm going on vacation, and I think that would be a good like plane read. Do you know what I mean? The other, I'm actually reading a book too. I'm reading a, which is weird.
What?
I'm reading a Wonder Woman story by a Wonder Woman book by Noah Berlatsky, which is called Wonder Woman: Bondage and Feminism in the Marston Peter Comic from 1941 to 1948. It's actually Wonder Woman's kind of like in the background. This is actually focusing on Marston. And there's some stuff on Peter which you don't really you always hear about Marston and that he was kind of like he had multiple wives and kids from multiple wives and he invented the lie detector. But this is getting into all his like theories and stuff, which is pretty interesting. But you never hear much about the artist, and this has some of that, which is pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah, I remember hearing about that book when I
The other
probably
thing
saw it solicited.
I didn't know about was that he died during Wonder Woman comics. He did them from like 1941 to 1948, and then 1948 I think is when he died. So he it's not like he like handed off the baton. He died doing Wonder Woman.
Okay.
Well, he died in nine. He was born in 1893 and died in May 2nd, 1947. But yeah, this looks like an interesting read. The only thing I didn't like about it is the tone that the writer writes in. He writes in such a like his nose is in the air. Like it's like
He's pretty young then.
a pretentious style, you know.
Oh, the book.
Yeah. It's a weird tone, and maybe I'm reading too much into the tone. But the way I'm reading the tone, it sounds kind of snippy. The way he's putting words together too is kind of strange.
But you're interested in the materials, so.
I want to know more about this character. I don't. I know a lot about Wonder Woman, but not a lot about Golden Age Wonder Woman, and not a lot about the creator, to tell you the truth, other than the stuff that everybody knows. So I wanna dig in there, and I'll probably take that, and I'll the quality one is gonna be an interesting read, so I might do that.
Yeah, that'd probably be good for like a trip because you can just read like it's broken down into bits and pieces, so it'd be easy to just pick it up and read.
I told the shop owner, I said, if they bring in any Freedom Fighter stuff, and I gave him the list of the characters, I said, you please call me or page me, because I really want to own a Human Bomb and a Phantom Lady, because I have an Uncle Sam now, and I have a few doll men, and I would just love to have a Phantom Lady and a Human Bomb, especially the Human Bomb. He's my favorite. So back, well, go ahead.
So was he earlier? Was he earlier than the issue you have, or after it, or?
No, he's just in a different title.
Oh, he was in the different.
Yeah, I don't even know which one, to tell you the truth. They have, like, if you go to eBay and you can get like Golden Age comics, because they're like open source. They're like no. There's like no licensing claim to a lot of these characters, so it's legal to make prints of them, put them on DVD, scans of them. Like, you'll find
Oh, you can get
Plastic
scans
Man.
of all of them.
Yeah, the other quality character I picked up recently is a Plastic Man. I picked up a couple of Golden Age Plastic Man, and that's pretty awesome. And what's cool about that is we and Convergence, we have Plastic Man and the Freedom Fighter, so they're combining the quality characters, which I'm gonna love that. And it's by Simon Oliver. I'm stoked for that book more than any other book.
What was the name of that book again?
Plastic Man and the Freedom Fighters.
Oh,
It's
yeah.
a Convergence one,
Yeah, one of the conversions.
and it's if you loved Exterminators or Federal Bureau of Physics, that's Simon Oliver. So, plus he's tackling my favorite property. You know what I mean? It's like I'm
It's a
excited.
win-win for you, yeah.
But I never thought I would get into Golden Age comics. And I find myself getting into them. I find them fascinating. Like, even thumbing through them, like, you have to be careful with these things because they are old. But when you open them, it's just amazing because of all the art style is so different, Bill, and the texture of them, and the fact that they're punching Nazis and stuff. Like an historical perspective of what was going on in the world around us. It's really like a treasure trove of information. It's fascinating to me.
Yeah, it's interesting to think of like imagining like the kids back then and the state of the world, and they're picking up
Yeah.
these books and.
Well, you know how people will say, "Well, what do you want to be when you grow up?" I finally know what I want to be. I want to be like a comics historian. I want to just work in a museum and just know everything. Be
You
a wealth.
finally figured
I finally figured it out.
it
I don't know how I'm gonna make it happen, but
don't know how you'd go about doing that.
yeah,
Could
that
lead the
was a weird
tours.
tangent though, but I tell you, Bill, my eyes almost popped out of my head when I saw that in my box. Because that's an iconic cover. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's got the Justice League of Justice Society of America around the table.
Around the table, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you first, post your
that's
post thing.
Really the first superhero team. You know what I'm saying?
Was
All
it?
in one. Yeah. So, like, it's. Oh, my God. It just gives me chills just thinking that I had that in my hands. I have to go back on Friday just to look at it again. It's a sight. Because I never see those at conventions. Like that book, like key books like that. You do not see that. You can go to like the museum in Baltimore. You know how they have that. Well, you haven't been to Baltimore yet, have you?
No.
Well, they have that museum. I think it's the guy who owns Diamond. You know, comics.
Yeah,
Diamond distributor. He has a museum. The Giuseppe. Geppi. Yeah, he has a museum there. Matter of fact, me and Barb walked over there on a Monday.
Is it still there? I heard it was.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Financial trouble.
Well, it was there when we went by last
time
year.
There.
We just couldn't get in it because of the hours. It was closed on Mondays or something like that. But it was there. But me and Keith went in it before. You know, Knutson. We have pictures of it. It's
I remember the pictures.
It's pretty amazing. Amazing place.
It is awesome because that's like a museum
you
that
would
I
love
can get
it.
Into.
Yeah, it's like a church. You walk in, and it's so quiet, and you're seeing like everything that you love on the walls, and it's all history. It's all there,
it's
and
like,
you're seeing toys and stuff. Like these things were iconic. Like you're seeing like the Marvel family toys that were coming out in the 40s, and how the kids were so pumped. And you're seeing too how Shazam became more popular than Superman, and then the lawsuit changed everything, you know. And that wouldn't have, if you look at today, that would never have happened because Shazam. There's so many Superman characters, and Shazam is nothing like Superman at all. It's a boy that says Shazam and has superpowers, and yeah, he can fly. And he's got speed and all that, but he doesn't have a lot of the stuff that Superman has. He's very different. You look, everybody does a Superman character. You got Supreme, you got
Invincible character.
Yeah, Marvel has them, Hyperion, you know, you have all of that. It would never have been a suit. And who would have known what would have happened if that character didn't go into obscurity? Now they're going to make a movie, which is, it might pump. I tell you one thing, my Golden Age comics are going to skyrocket when that movie comes up.
What are they doing a movie of?
Shazam.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Like a full-on?
Yeah. Well, it also skyrocketed the first Silver Age appearance of Black Adam, because I was looking on eBay for that. It was one of the books I was missing, and this is like a 20-cent comic or 30-cent, I can't remember. The book was like going for skyrocket prices on eBay, and I was like, what the hell, why would they care about, it's not even the first appearance, but it was going really high. It's still going really high because they announced The Rock is playing him.
There you go. Oh yeah, I think I heard that.
Yeah, so I got it for dirt cheap. The one thing that you could, if you want to look at speculator crap, is you could like just monitor movie announcements. Because like Morlocks number one by Geoff Johns has skyrocketed, and it's like the first appearance of Gold Dust or whoever the fuck that is. And but you know that character is going to be in Deadpool. And all these things get all these speculators, and what do? Is they buy all the copies, so it makes them rare, and then there's demand for them because it's the first appearance of somebody. And people buy comics high; they don't buy them when they're low. They buy them when they're in demand
because it's hot and it's exciting.
Yeah,
you get a rush. Yeah, even though they could have bought the same thing a year ago for pennies on the dollar.
That's right.
Or they could wait 5 years and get it for pennies on the dollar.
But anyway, that was a huge tangent. Suiciders, I give a thumbs up, and I'm going to stick with it.
I liked it, but I wish I knew where the story was going.
Well, I'll tell you. I'll let you know. I'll tell you what number two does.
Yeah. I'm assuming number two will give it an idea of that.
Maybe a little bit of direction.
Yeah, I just don't know what the overall story is. I mean, we got the characters and we got the world, but we don't have a story yet. Where's the story? I read another number one.
What?
I don't remember if you talked about this one before. From Dark Circle Comics, Black Hood number one.
Oh, no, we haven't. Yeah, that was pretty good. It's pretty dark.
It was quite dark. I think there were some swear words in it.
I thought it was an interesting revamp of the character because this character killed the original Black Hood.
Yeah, like early, like in the opening scene.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Like almost, pretty much accidentally.
Yeah, accidentally shot, right? He was shooting at somebody else.
Yeah, well, he had got shot and he was just like kind of reacting.
His reaction gunfire shot the original Black Hood.
Yeah, he was trying to shoot the guys who shot him and ended up shooting, killing Black Hood. And then a lot of people were happy about it because he was this vigilante who people didn't like necessarily. So this cop is now a hero for killing this vigilante. It was good.
Yeah, it's Dwayne Swierczynski and Michael Gatos.
Yeah, with the art. And he has a realistic type of style. Dark.
Yeah, I know him from like Daredevil.
Yeah.
He reminds me of a lot of artists that have done Daredevil.
Daredevil, yeah.
Yeah. or like Gotham Central, you know, that type of artist. Artists that have worked with Brian Michael Bendis.
Yeah, like
titles that do a lot of talking art. A lot of the dialogue.
Dialogue based.
Mm-hmm. This was the premiere of the Black Circle or Dark Circle titles, right? There wasn't anything before.
Was it? I thought there wasn't. I get confused because I don't know what's been released and what's been solicited.
I don't think any. Well, I think they have the Fox. But Fox has been re-released before, but it wasn't under the Dark Circle banner. So I wonder if they're going to make that dark because the Fox was more like a kid-friendly book.
Right.
And they came out with Mighty Crusaders before, and that was. That was kid-friendly, too. And now we got the Dark Circle, and now they're re-releasing the Fox, the Shield. I heard they were going to do one more. What was it? The Hangman, I think, was the next one I heard about. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting ride. And I was only introduced to these characters back in 1991, 92, when you had the Impact Comics from DC. And they had released all the Archie characters, and I had some.
No, that's right.
As a kid, I had some digests. I remember buying like grocery store digests that had a couple of like The Fly, and it would have some of the reprints. Do you know what I mean? It would be like Archie featuring Archie Superheroes Digest or something like that, and it would have some reprints of the old Shield and the old Fly. Yeah, the old stuff.
I don't remember those, but I remember when DC had them. Those didn't do very well, or at least they didn't last very long.
Impact Comics. They were good, though. They had, I remember liking the Black Hood back then.
I didn't read the Black Hood. I think I read The Fly, but I didn't really care for it. I think it's just because I didn't, like, the character seemed kind of hokey to me.
They had Jaguar and the Web and the Legend of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Crusaders and the Crucible and Comet. Well, Crucible was later. And then they had some stuff and they did the Impact Who's Who. I own that too.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Did it talk about the previous incarnations or just the
No, just the DC, like it
DC
was
stuff?
trying to feature them because they, at the time that they had the Impact line, they did not incorporate them into the DC proper. In the Crucible series, I think they did. I can't remember. They did merge them in at one point. Because I remember seeing some of the DC characters in there, and I think it was way later, and they weren't even under the Impact banner. They were under DC.
I'm looking at the ad for this fox, for the
Yeah.
fox under Dark Circle.
It's the same team
It's
that did the
Haspel
original.
and Wade.
Wade.
And it's the picture is like of the fox jumping through the air, and he's getting his leg blown off, his arm blown off, and like a shot through the
So that's got to be like devastating
gut.
if you're a kid, right? And you were reading the first incarnation.
It's
And now
oh,
you're.
mom, there's a new fox out. I love the fox.
And then you're a parent. Look, you were buying the fox for your kid, and you're like, oh, they came back with the fox. I think I'm going to buy it for little Eddie.
Little Johnny.
What happened? He's a torso now. What the hell's going on?
Genre-defying superheroics.
I think Archie is recognizing a trend in their properties.
Yeah, the trend is probably that they're making money off these
They're making
darker
money.
books.
They're making money off of Sabrina. They're making money off of Afterlife
Afterlife.
Archie. That one is incredibly late, though. They can't get that. I can't imagine how successful it would be if they put the book out on time. And then Sabrina, I just got refunded on it, and they said we'll be resolicited. So they, that one,
Wow,
they like
stop
rushed
them.
out. They rushed out the door, and then didn't
Stall
have
it.
any. Yeah, it was just like we need to get this out to make some money, and we don't have all the other ones in the can, so we're in trouble.
I didn't pre-order the Fox. I think I'm gonna get it though, because I didn't really care for the
I
kid
didn't.
version of the
I did. I
Fox.
did not like it. I bought the first two issues, and I very seldom do I bail, and I bailed.
Yeah, I just got the first one and didn't care for it, but I might try this darker version.
The tone of that one and the way it was written was really weird. It didn't feel like a Wade book, at least in terms of writing. So I wonder if he scripted it and gave it to Haspel, and then he wrote it.
Could be.
But it just. It was, it read kind of weird to me, but who knows? If they make a Fox movie, that book could be hot.
Thought so. It was much darker than I thought it would be, and there was swearing in it. Swearing.
Yeah.
The F word.
But we have kids listening to our podcast, and we say that all the time.
That's true. I shouldn't be shocked by it.
Our number one downloads are from the age groups 12 and under. That's our target demographic.
Is. I don't think I ordered the shield either.
They've
I may
had
have
some
to.
really, really interesting variants on those. I'm getting sick of the variants though because I like a lot of the variants. Like they'll have a Fiona Staples variant or something that I'm like, I like that one, but then I like another one, and it gets harder and harder to pick. I
Yeah,
do like
sometimes.
I don't usually get like Valiant variants, but they this last shipment I ordered a Unity because it had a Rip. Jose Rip did a cover
Really?
for Valiant. Yeah. And I know you know who that is.
I know who that is.
Yeah.
That's cool. Sometimes DCBS makes it easy for me because sometimes they don't discount the variant covers, just the regular one.
But
So then
they've
I
been
know I'm
having
getting
it.
the regular cover.
But they have been having the bundles on stuff, DCBS, like if you're all in, like they have the all in Valiant, they have the all in Archie bundle. They have the all in, like if you're getting some of those crossover books with Dynamite, if you go all in and get all four
Get
titles
an
that month, you
extra
get,
discount.
yeah, it's like 50%. Like I
Okay.
bought all the Altered States. Have you heard of those? The Altered States, Vampirella, Red Sonja.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Those are pretty good. The Vampirella one was really good because it had like a sci-fi take where they were on a
Yeah, I
spaceship.
think I ordered that one. Yeah, I
Yeah.
ordered that one because I was interested in the. Yeah, because she lands on a planet of vampires or something, isn't
Yeah,
that?
it was really, it's really weird because on that planet of Dracula, it uses the same planet that she's from. I can't remember if it's called Draculan or something like that. But the cool thing of that is people have water for blood, so she's drawn to drink people's blood because it's water. It's the only way she could survive. So it's weird. But yeah, I enjoyed the Vampirella one. That was good. The Red Sonja one, it started off good and then I kind of lost interest, but it still was a decent book. I didn't hate it. I liked it.
I don't remember if I ordered that one.
The premise of that one was it starts off in the past with the Red Sonja adventure and she's fighting like one of her sorcerers, and she dies in battle, and her sword is she like makes this oath on her sword, and later in the future, so now we're in current time, and there's a museum curator, or she's like a student there, and she's like studying old artifacts. She finds a sword, and then they find this what do they call them, sarcophagus, like when the body. I can't remember what they call them, the mummy things,
Yeah,
and
sarcophagus.
it turns out to be that sorcerer, and she actually has somebody, figure out what the words were. She brings that sorcerer back to life, and then she grabs the sword, and then she's like possessed by Red Sonja again, and then they fight. So that was an interesting concept. I thought it was executed better at the beginning than at the end.
That Gail Simone writing that one?
No, it was like let me see, Altered States. There's the Shadow and Doc Savage, but they haven't come out. On the Vampirella one, it's Nancy Collins. She's writing the main title.
Okay, that's
I
right.
like the way she writes because Vampirella for me has been kind of hit or miss. Like I always dip my toe in just because she's strikingly beautiful. But then I find out I don't like the stories. What's wrong? Could be my phone. And then the artist is Francesco Mann. I think you're gonna enjoy the Vampirella one. They did a really good job. The Red Sonja was Brandon Jurwa and Juanan Ramirez. So the art has been pretty good on both of them. I thought the art was really good.
That's good. Right. I'm looking to see what. Yeah, I just got the Vampirella one.
But if you had bought this bundle, it would have been 50% off. But I like Dynamite, so I get most of their stuff.
Yeah.
So I did read those. I did read Silk.
Yeah,
And
Silk number one
I
or
liked
number
it.
one and two.
I liked it. I only
So
Silk
did I.
kind of sold out and I couldn't find it anywhere, but the comic shop owner said, I closed some boxes and you can go look through these piles and see if it's in there. And I found it and I bought it.
Okay.
And I liked that one. Like, I liked it much more than Spider-Gwen.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because
it's weird because I thought of all the books. I've tried all the Spider characters. I've tried Spider-Gwen, Spider-Woman, and Silk.
Silk.
And the one I liked the most was the new Spider-Woman. I didn't start with one because it was in the middle of event, Spider-Verse. And yeah. I wasn't getting Spider-Verse, and I heard it was really intertwined with it. Like, it wasn't a good number one issue. And I like Spider-Woman. But I heard it was so ingrained in the series it wasn't worth picking up unless you were in reading Spider-Verse. So I said, I'll wait. And then I debated on, because I didn't like the new costume, but I tried it and that one was really good. I really like Spider-Woman number 5.
Okay.
Spider-Woman number 5 feels like an issue number 1.
It's the first one out of the Spider-Verse?
Yeah.
Like after the...
It feels like an issue number 1 because it introduces her new costume. It introduces... Okay. her new role. Like, she's left S.H.I.E.L.D., she's left the Avengers, and now she's kind of off on her own. And she's just trying to help people. And she hooks up with that reporter, the Daredevil reporter. The name is skipping me. He's a famous Marvel reporter. And he uncovers... a thing where, like, spouses and loved ones from supervillains are being reported missing. They're not being reported missing, but they go off the map. And he's trying to recruit her to help. And she's like, I'm not a detective anymore. I just want to help do stuff. And she ends up getting caught up in that plot. But it is really fun. If you like the artwork of the things that we're talking about, like the Daredevil book, the book that you just talked about, the Black Hood. If you like that art style, the art style is more in that vein.
Okay.
By Gatos, this one. But it was good. And then as far as Silk, I like the art style in that book too. And to me, the plot read good, and it read like a good issue number one, whereas Spider-Gwen, I didn't feel ingrained or interested in the story, even though I knew what there were. It's an alternate universe, and Frank Castle's a cop, and they have Daredevil, Matt Murdock in it, and all these alternate versions of these characters. But the band stuff is really weird.
It jumped around too much for me. I thought it was interesting because I thought the story in Silk and Spider-Gwen were very similar, but I thought the Silk was just, I don't know, flowed better, I guess.
It flowed better and it was executed, I thought, better. And it's weird because we love Rodriguez.
Yeah.
I mean, I love his art in Federal Bureau of Physics, but it didn't strike me as much as in this book or tone. I don't know why. But like in the physics world, his art style makes sense because he can contort stuff and there's all this weird shit going on, and I liked it in that book, but not so much in Spider-Gwen. It's not bad. Like, I don't hate it. I just don't like it as much as I do in Federal Bureau.
Yeah, although he did hit a home run with the design of Spider-Gwen or her costume.
The design and look of the book is pretty nice. Story was kind of not to my liking. Oh, you know what else I tried? Is Howard the Duck number 1.
Oh, okay. How was that?
By Chip Zdarsky. Is that his name? He's normally an artist. I think he's doing Sex Criminals.
Yeah, Sex Criminals artist.
I enjoyed it enough to continue with it. And I liked it. It was way more grounded than I thought it would be. Like, okay. I thought it would be like...
Silly?
I thought it would be like batshit crazy.
Yeah.
Like, insane. But... if you had followed Howard the Duck and you've read previous issues and you read the Marvel, they definitely ingrain him in the Marvel universe. Like, you know, they have She-Hulk and a couple other characters in the book. And, it felt like, you know, they're injecting Howard into the Marvel universe and taking off with it. Even though he's always been part of the Marvel universe, but yeah, he gets imprisoned and all kinds of other stuff, but it was written really well and the art style was good and I kind of dug it.
Cool. Well, he's famous now that he was in the movie, so.
They kind of incorporate that too with one.
Oh, do they talk about it?
In the endings, because he gets transported to space, and Rocket Raccoon is there. So it's kind of funny because he did have a cameo in Guardians.
Yeah.
But the artist on that was Joe Quijones. He's a good writer. Serdowski, I don't think I've ever written any or read anything that he's done.
Yeah, I don't know what he has done before this in terms of writing.
There's a lot of Chip guys in the world now. There's Chip Chip Kidd. Chip Kidd is doing all the covers for Convergence.
Oh, the alternate covers?
What else has he done? You should know Chip Kidd, right? Isn't he an indie guy?
Doesn't he do like book covers and stuff?
I don't know. I'm going to look him up right now and see if I could... Chip Kidd.
I thought he did like book design. Unless I'm thinking of mixing him up with someone else.
His covers aren't that great looking in previews. They're just like a headshot and half of it's colored off and half of it.
Yeah, what is the deal with that? Are they not like not revealing the other half?
Oh no, one is issue one is half and issue two is the other half. But it's like obscured with some of this blue or color code between it. And each of the color codes are supposed to mean something, like which event they're tying into.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of weird. Are you getting those covers or those standard ones?
I'm getting both.
I should have guessed.
Yeah, I look him up on the database and I don't see much from him.
Yeah, I think he's like he does like book covers and
all the stuff
layouts,
I see on book covers.
And
yeah,
stuff.
It's like he did a cover for Jack.
I think
Cole,
he's like award winning.
Jack Cole and the Plastic Man form sketch to their limits. This sounds really interesting.
Yeah, he might have done some books.
He did a Batman cover for Batman and the Golden Age. Now I'm interested in these books. This Jack Cole one looks pretty cool. What is this? Writer is Art Spiegelman? Artist is Chip Kidd and Jack Cole.
Hello?
You're bad?
I'm bad. Bad. You know it. I had to kick some children's butts. I'm sorry you had to hear that.
What's going on?
I think my son was watching the YouTubes. Oh.
Your dial-up modem just can't handle it.
I know. I only got 14.4. Remember when we went to 14.4 to like 28.8 or whatever?
Yeah,
it was so awesome. It's like a fastness is loading.
And now you try to get a gig. Where we've really come. Although a gig isn't offered in our area for what do you call it?
Cell 4G?
Not for a cable, but for
DSL?
Yeah, DSL.
Son of a bitch. Hey, what were we talking about?
Oh, we're just talking about Chip Kidd.
All right.
And I said, I found this Jack Cole and Plastic Man book. It looks really, really fascinating.
Oh, yeah. I think I you mentioned it, and now I remember the, like, the cover. Does it have, like, a big, his face or something?
Yeah. I'm going to go look on eBay and see what they have here. Jack Cole. That would be a good book because, you know, I'm in the quality character, so if you like to. Jack Cole, Plastic Man. It's a paperback. $6.50 used and new. I'll be on this thing. Not now, but I will be.
I'm going on the list. That must be out of print, huh?
To pay homage to the Plastic Man and his creator. I want to see some of the inside. Look inside. It looks like it's a history type book, which is cool. Oh yeah, this is
right up your alley.
it'll take me to the what I want to do when I grow up.
Yes, this will add to your resume. Put this on your resume. Expert in Plastic Man.
Yeah.
101. Well, it looks like it does have some comics in it as well.
Yeah.
See, that'd be an interesting one to pick up.
There's this Batman Golden Age, too, with Les Daniels that he did. This looks fascinating. He did the cover to that, too. That says a hardcover from $1.18. That's pretty cheap.
Yes, in some cases it pays to wait until stuff goes out of print.
Yeah, in some cases.
But then, yeah. Well, it's like on Amazon, if you have Prime with the free shipping, sometimes, like, if you could have bought it new for like $7 with free shipping, or if you get it for like used for like $2 and then have to pay shipping, it's like almost the same amount
anyway. Almost the same,
so. Might as well just get the new one.
This Les Daniels is kind of like what I want to be, because he's like a author that does complete history books.
Historian?
Yeah, that's what I want to do when I grow up.
That'd be fun, collecting all the, go talking to people who like knew the guy or whatever. Going, searching through the archives.
Yeah. This is cool shit, man. Why don't I own this Wonder Woman in the Golden Age?
I'm surprised you don't own some of these, actually.
Son of a bitch. I own most of the Wonder Woman books, but I don't own this Golden Age one. Now I'm getting frustrated. Son of a bitch. There's not enough time in life. It's so frustrating. We get older, and there's so much I still want to read and so much I want to still do. And I'll never get to all of it. And it just pisses me off. Unless they can, like, freeze me.
What would that do?
Well, if they can clone me and then stick me into the other body.
That would be a cloning. It'd be good.
I got to start growing myself. So when I need body,
tag,
when I need
tag team.
When I need body parts later on, I can just swap them out. So what else do we got? Ooh, I have one more book that I want to mention.
Okay.
This was outstanding, Bill. This is like right up our alley for scripts.
Ooh.
This is like, it has our names on it. But this, and the other thing that I loved about it, it was only $1.
Ooh.
It's a comic and it's only $1. It's from Oni Press, and it's called Hellbreak, from Colin Bunn.
Ah, yes.
And Brian Chirilla. It's colored by Dave Stewart, one of the more famous colorists.
She's very well known.
And this is a really cool ass book. It reads so damn well.
Really?
But this guy's got like an organization to go into hell and bring back people from hell. And it goes back all into Greek mythology and stuff. But that's why it's called Hellbreak. They have a technology that will allow them to break into hell, go in and do what their thing. And there's like all these specialists.
Yeah, is that the one where there's like a team of like priests and a...
Yeah, there's a team of specialists, but they're more like the hardcore, you know, like the Valiant hardcore. They're like specialists in different areas. Like one's in technology, one's a good sniper. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
They kind of go into hell and rescue people that I don't know if they charge a lot. I would imagine they do.
If I was doing it, I would charge a lot.
But there's like families and stuff that come and say, you know, my
oh, you can hire people to get people
my
back
child's
from hell?
Dead. That's now, how you figure out that your kid has gone to hell instead of heaven? That part I haven't figured out yet. And they don't explore that in issue one yet. But I guess if you know your child's a bad kid and he's going straight to hell.
Yeah, and really, if someone's a big enough asshole to go to hell, then why do you want him back?
Why do you want him back?
Because at some point they've screwed you over.
In this case, I think it was a possession, though. Like a possessed by the devil thing.
I guess you could sell your soul to the devil.
Yeah. So they haven't really explored a lot of hell, but just this kind of like this one area that they went to rescue this kid in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really good read. It was my favorite read of the week. Hellbreak. Wow.
Cool. I know I ordered that.
I think you're going to dig the art, too. Like, I really think you're going to love the art.
Yeah, I like his stuff. He did that. What did he do? I don't remember.
But they have, like, a medical guy, a technician. You know, it introduces you to... They got ordnance, heavy ordnance, all kinds of crazy people.
Is that the guy who did the D.B. Cooper art?
I didn't read D.B. Cooper. That was you and Micah.
Yeah, I thought he did.
Hellbreak was good.
Cool. I'm glad it was. And you kind of figure, or hope at least, that when they do like a special dollar issue, that the reason they're doing it is because they know they have something good on their hands and they want to get as many people on board, because they know if you read the first issue, then you'll be like, oh, I got to read more. So they kind of sucker you in. Suck you in. Yeah, Brian Chirillo, that's what you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did the D.B. Cooper series. So, yeah, I like his art. Good. I got a couple more things that I read.
Okay.
A couple of trades. The first, I finally read A Voice in the Dark, Volume 1 trade by Laramie Taylor, which we've talked about on the show before. Did you read the whole first series?
I haven't read it, but you could go ahead. I don't know when I'm going to get to it.
Get back to it? Yeah. So this is the one about a young girl who goes off to college, and before she went off to college, she killed this girl who was bullying her friend, who became her sister. And she kind of gets a taste for killing. And she goes off to college and gets a job at the college radio station. And the whole time she's there, she's thinking about her next kill and how long it's been since she's killed. And at the same time, there's another serial killer in the town who's killing college kids that's not her. So you kind of got both those storylines going on. It's from Top Cow, Black and White, and it's really good. I mean, The whole package is really good, from the art to the story. I really enjoyed this one. It does a good job on, I guess, a couple of fronts. One, just seeing her going off to college and dealing with other girls at college and the whole college scene, and they go to like a sorority and get hassled by the girls there. And then and the jerks at the college. And then it's also good because it's talking about her serial killer side, so it's an interesting look into her mind, I guess. But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. And I know there's a second series as well, so
yeah,
great for that. Hasn't come out yet, but I'm looking forward to it. So recommended. Pick that one up. You need to finish reading it, Mike.
I just read the first one.
Oh, you just read the first one?
Yeah. But I liked it.
Yeah. It gets better as it goes along, too. It's really well done. It is quite enjoyable. So I definitely recommend that one. It lived up to my expectations after reading the first issue. The second one I got is a weird one, because this one I actually got from off of Amazon. I'm not even sure if it's available anywhere else. It's Wednesday, Book One by John Bergen, or Bergen. I don't know how to say his name. John Bergen used to do a book called Ashes back in the 80s, I think. And I think it was a Caliber book, maybe.
What is it called?
This one is Wednesday.
Huh.
Wednesday, Book One. He also has a...
I never heard of this.
Yeah, it was never in previews or anything.
Did you get this at the library?
No, just through Amazon. I think it might have been, like... I don't know, published through it. You know, Amazon, like, publishes books, too? Or you can publish books through Amazon or something?
And the title is Wednesday?
Yeah, Wednesday.
And it's a comic?
It's a comic. It is.
It's not in my database, so there's Wednesday Conspiracy, but there's no Wednesday, which means it doesn't exist. So whatever you have in there is just make-believe.
It's a trade, though. It's not like a comic. It's an original graphic novel, Book One. Probably about...
Just a second, Bill. You go tweet Knutson and ask him what the fuck he's talking about then. Okay, you tell him that you scan those barcodes in and yeah, you go tell him. Go tell him what's the key to do it, Knutson. We scanned it in and it's the same damn number. Go tell him. I want it and tag him in it and just say, what the fuck, Knutson? Yes, you say it. It'll mean something if you say what the fuck. It won't mean anything if I say what the fuck. All right, go ahead. Knutson and me were arguing about these mystery vinyl figures. Have you heard about them? They're like come in a box.
No, I saw you had some pictures that you posted, like the little figures.
Yeah, Knutson's like, you could scan the barcode in and find out what character. So Barb actually took the boxes that I had where I know the characters and scanned them in, and that's all the same damn barcode, and it takes you to the generic website of what the product is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you should be able to just look at the barcode and see if they're the same. If they're the same, then
they are the same.
Punch them in the face.
Yeah. Bill suggests we punch him in the face next time we see him. I like that idea. Except he's like a trained
He's a trained ninja,
jitsu or something like that. Like he likes to sweat
grapple
with
you
with other,
with you.
He's like a Greek wrestler. He puts on his little diaper and he wants to wrestle with you.
He'll throw you down and start humping on your face.
Yeah, that's right. I don't want any of that.
He'll put a leg lock on your face and choke you out.
Don't want any of that. Smother you.
So Wednesday, the book that does not exist, book one.
It doesn't exist. It's not in my database.
But it is on Amazon. So this is, it's an interesting concept. So it starts out and you're reading the diary of this girl. And she's telling you that at some point in mankind's history, which I don't know if they specify a year or how long it's been. Oh, it's been pretty long. So scientists created these little nano robots. Yeah, they were built in these machine or factories, and then at one of the factories there was an accident where a bunch of the nano machines escaped via the exhaust.
This is just called Wednesday Volume 1 by John Bergen.
Yeah.
Okay, I finally see it. It does exist. I didn't believe
it. It does exist. It's in your database?
No, it's on Amazon.
Yes, it is on Amazon. That is where I purchased it. So these little nano machine bugs got into the world and started reproducing and started destroying everything. So now there's these swarms of these clouds, these nano clouds of these robots, and if they get on you, they'll pretty much devour you. Well, here, let's see. If you get hit by a swarm, you have 6 hours to live. With every breath you suck in billions of them. If you hold your breath, they still get in. They're so tiny, they go right through your skin. They'll have you bleeding out in 6 hours.
What is this? This looks like a notebook of.
Yeah, that's how it starts out.
Chicken scratch.
Yeah, it's her diary. So the first, like, yeah, 6 pages or so are her diary.
This looks insane. At least if you look at it from the Amazon perspective.
Amazon preview.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's comic at all. It looks like it's like a bunch of note pages.
Do they actually get to the comic in the preview?
They get to like art sketches, but they don't actually show like
the comic itself.
They maybe one page. And it's very like, how did you even buy this?
I like the creator, so.
Oh, okay. So you had known this guy.
Yeah. I knew his work.
And what did you do? Just start browsing Amazon and searching for this guy or what?
No, I follow him on the Twitters.
Oh, so Twitter is like information highway.
Yeah, he posted information about it on. Well, if you do surprise me, it'll give you some of the comic pages on Amazon.
Oh man, it looks interesting though.
Yeah,
if that's her diary.
Yeah, so that's the start of it, and then let me see how many pages of her diary. So there's like 7, 8. So you get 8 pages of her diary, and then it starts the story. And the story starts with this one dude whose name I can't remember. Who's the main guy in the story, who's like a mercenary, and he goes to kill this woman, but then she ends up having a baby. So he ends up taking the baby, who he names Wednesday, and takes her back to his place. And then they jump to the future where she's 16 or 18, I'm not sure. And they're living. So one other thing I forgot. So in order to survive these swarms of the nano machines, they have these like generators that will create like a dome kind of around a city to protect it. So there's these isolated cities protected by these domes, these electric domes or electromechanical domes, where the swarms can't get in. So they have like kind of interconnecting little cities out in this like desert land, because the swarms kill everything. So there's no plant life or anything except for in these like little dome cities. And the whole world is kind of like a Mad Max type thing. And on one page of the book, they actually show like a map of the whole whole area of the world where they live, their home, and then which roads are safe to go on, which towns are safe to go in, and which towns like you don't want to go in because that's where you'll get killed or whatever. So they have like well, they have Crapland, South Crapland, Neutral Corridor, Dead City, Gangland, Land of Arrogant Pricks. I guess these are her names for these places. But he's kind of laid out this whole world that they live in and all the different places within it. So in the story, it kind of these bandits end up going. They're trying to get one of these generators that's being transported, and ends up going to this junkyard where this guy and Wednesday live, and they kind of end up getting exposed. So now they're going to be on the run. But Wednesday is really good with robotics, and she creates these three robotic monkey things. They can look kind of like stuffed animals, like monkey stuffed animals, but they're like robots. And then, at one point in the story, this like assassin woman comes down because I can't remember what she's after. Something got exposed, and then she's trying to seek revenge. I think it's the guy on the guy. But this is really good, and the art is I like the art a lot, and it's very the colors are like pop off the page. So this is really good. I really enjoyed it. Highly recommended. Wednesday, book one. And I'm looking forward to future books of this series.
The Land of Arrogant Bastards.
Land of Arrogant Bastards.
That sounds like a place that you could send the Hellbreak team into.
Is good. It has like a nice Mad Max feel, and there's they drive around in these souped up 60s looking cars, and
Yeah.
technology and bad guys and fights and stuff is good.
Cool beans.
Yeah, check it out on the Amazon.com.
Didn't tag Knutson, Barb. I had to tag him. I had to make sure he looks at that. I just said I was nice. I said something like, "Hey, Keith Knutson, what's up?" instead of like, "What the fuck?" See, you like that, huh? Look, I was able to tame my frustration. Any others? Wednesday, Volume 1.
Wednesday, Volume 1. I think that's all the comic books that I wanted to talk about.
Well, you want to jump into TV because we skipped that last time.
Sure, television.
What do you got?
What do I have for television?
I didn't watch any TV. I'm all caught up on all the shows, but they're on hiatus right now. Always Sunny in Philadelphia, do you watch that?
No, I don't get that anywhere.
Would you watch it if you could?
Yeah, is it on Netflix?
No, I don't. It is on Netflix, but I think they're like two seasons
Yeah, a couple
behind, maybe.
behind.
Yeah,
I used to watch, well, like when I got the channel, I watched it, yeah.
they had episode that was called Family Fight, and it was based on Family Feud. So it's like, what if this family, Danny DeVito's family and the other people that work at the bar, like Charlie and Mac, went to on Family Feud? So they did
Nice.
like a knockoff of Family Feud. And one of the questions was like, it's so funny. It is so hilarious. Is they interviewed 100 people, right? Like Family Feud. And they were like, what animals do you eat that won't eat you? And the first answer was a pig. And Danny DeVito got it right. He was like, pigs, because they don't eat us. And then he said, can I retract my answer? He said, I had a killer pig once. A man-eating pig. So can I retract my answer? And the guys, no, you can't. But they ended up winning the round. So the next question goes to Dennis, and Dennis always fucks it up. And then so he goes. It goes to D. Yeah, he said like sea urchin. He said, "What the fuck's a sea urchin. And then they go to D, and D goes, you know what my answer is? I said, I like to eat cock. And he said, then the host looks up and is like, did she just say? He said, can we use another word? And she says, no, I want to use cock. I like to eat cock. So it got into that, and then they accepted her answer like as a chicken, you know. And then she got it, and one of the last answers was great. It was dragon. It was Charlie. They got to Charlie, and they said dragon, and it's like dragons don't eat people, but they're not real. And the answer was dragon. The answer came back with one survey. It turns out that Charlie got to, he was one of the
dudes he got chosen. Surveyed.
So all his stupid answers showed up on the thing. But it, you know how they always have the number of people that responded? It would always have a one next to it. And later on, they said, what are you most terrified of? And they went through like a list of terrifying things. And he goes, Nightman. And if you remember from the series, the Nightman, that was a skit they had. And the host is like, what the fuck is a Nightman? It was hilarious, Bill. It was so good.
Yeah, I got to find that one. Very good.
One of the answers was toe knife. What was it? What are the things that you use to groom yourself? And Dan DeVito said toe knife. He cuts his nails with a toe knife. And then the next episode, the toe knife came up because Mac like slits his hand for like a blood, you know, like to a blood bond, you know, like let's agree on this kind of thing. Yeah. And he cut himself with a toe knife. It gets all infected. Oh man, that show is just too much, man.
I don't remember what season I left off on.
Oh, and D, you know, in the last round of Family Feud, the family that wins gets to answer two rounds, and they have to hit like 200 points, and then they win. Yeah. Well, Dennis decides who's going to play, which is a bad idea because Dennis got none of the answers right. And he starts freaking out every time the buzzer goes off. He's like, ah, you know, like it hurts his head. But he picks D. And D hasn't eaten for 2 days because she knew she was going to be on TV. Right. And she brought with her like this fart. Keith Knudsen would get a kick out of this one because she brought this like fart keychain with her. but the host didn't know. So she passes out because she hadn't eaten in 2 days, and she lands on her fart keychain. And she just keeps on farting. It's like they have to drag her off the stage. And they have to bring on the sub. So Danny DeVito comes and he gives every number one answer. And all that Dennis needs to do is get four, and he can't even get them.
Yeah, I figured that was. That was my prediction for what was going to happen.
He nailed every number one answer, Dan DeVito. I was almost in tears that episode, though. The one that almost knocked me off the couch is when D said, I like to eat cock. Oh, my God. It's funny. You know it's funny when you laugh at yourself. Thinking about it, yeah.
What channel is that on? Is this
FX?
Okay. Yes, the one FX.
Oh, it's on FXX. It's not on FX proper. So I don't even know because we like DVR everything. Yeah. Barb said FXX.
Okay.
That's the only TV. Oh, I've been watching Three Musketeers, and I think it's amazing, the BBC show. I'm hooked on that one. And I started with season two, and now I want to go buy or rent season one. I think it's just called The Musketeers. Maybe it's The Three Musketeers.
I've never seen that one.
This latest episode was pretty interesting. They had like a Joan of Arc character in France where she thought she was talking to God. And God was telling her to kill every Spaniard that was around. And there's like a lot of politics going between Spain and France right now. her people started murdering Spaniards that were in France. I mean, like slitting their throats and hanging them upside down and bleeding them dry and all kinds of crazy stuff. Because they really believed she was talking to God. And it turns out her mom was freaking drugging her, like putting stuff in her, like in her soup and stuff to make her have these visions. But it was a pretty crazy episode. I like that show. It's really good.
Yeah. If it ever pops up somewhere, streaming somewhere, I'll have to check it out.
I know the Musketeers pretty well.
I know you've been a fan of them for.
So like I fit right into season two, even though I hadn't watched season one, but I want to watch season one now because the Cardinal is gone and it's always, you know, politics with the Cardinal and stuff. But it's a really good episode. I think that's all the TV we watched.
I got a couple that I've been watching. Started watching that Blackstrom show.
Blackstrom?
It's the one with Dwight from the television program The Office.
Oh, okay. I have seen the preview for it.
Yeah, it's where he plays a detective, like a police detective. But he's like with a dark past and he's an alcoholic. And so he's drinking all the time. And he doesn't have, he's very irreverent. So it's about him and his like team, I guess, working on solving different crimes. So it is a police procedural type show, but it's told from the perspective of this renegade kind of cop guy. And the actor, whatever his name is, Rainn Wilson or whatever, he does a really good job with it. So it's well done. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
As far as those types of shows go. Which, goddamn, how come every new show that comes on is like a crime show nowadays? There's so many of them.
I don't know.
It's crazy.
I think it's because of ratings. People like that. It's like,
yeah, that's what, I guess, that's just the current trend. That's what people are watching, so. I finished watching the first season of Transparent on Amazon.
Ooh, Transparent. I think that Barb just finished that, too. She liked.
Yeah, I know Barb was watching that. That was really, really good. I've liked all the Amazon Prime shows I've seen so far. I think they're doing a real good job with those. So that's the one with what's that guy's name?
Barb, who's in Transparent actor?
He's Hank on.
Hank on something. Gary Hank Shanling. On what? Hank on Gary Shandling. Barb's not going to know who that is. Hank on Gary Shandling.
he's the father on Arrested Development.
Oh, father on Arrested Development. Oh, the bald guy?
Yeah. Tamborn. Tambor.
Okay. Yeah, he got it.
He's really good. So it's about him and his transition. So he's transgender. So he's switching. He's transitioning from being a man to a woman. And it kind of tells. So this season kind of starts out with him deciding that he's not going to live his life as a man anymore. He's done with that, and he's going to live the life he has wanted to his whole life. So he has to come out to his wife and his ex-wife and kids, who are his adult kids now. So it's kind of telling that story about him, and it also, every once in a while, they flash back to his past to show like events in his past that kind of where he was exploring his feminine side or was researching like what it would take to switch over. So it's really well done from that perspective. And then it gets into like the lives of all the kids who are all messed up in their lives and how screwed up they are and kind of their progression, I guess. It's good. It's really well done. It's enjoyable. And one thing I like about these Amazon shows is they have a lot of older actors that you recognize from other shows that aren't necessarily getting work on like network shows, but they're on these Amazon shows. Like the ex-wife is the woman from Who's the Boss? Like
The older lady?
the mother. Angela.
Oh, she's still, wow, she's old. Oh, and Angela, the older woman that was that employed Tony Danza.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you meant the old
Oh, the old. No, I don't.
mother.
Yeah, I don't know if the mother's around anymore.
Yeah, that's why I was gonna, she's gotta be old.
She's on it, and then I'm also watching Mozart in the Jungle, which is another Amazon Prime show.
Mozart in the Jungle.
And now that one's about a young, just out of college girl who's a what instrument does she play? No. Something you blow into.
The cock.
She likes eating cock. Oh man, I'm blanking on the some woodwind instrument
The
anyway.
flute,
No, it's not a
the
flute.
clarinet,
I don't think it's a clarinet.
the picotto, the picket, whatever that one,
Pikachu.
Pikachu. That's Pokemon.
She likes to blow into the Pokemon.
Pikachu.
I'll try and figure out what it is while I'm
Is that
talking.
where the Mozart thing comes in or what?
Oboe. I think it's an oboe.
An oboe is huge. All you had to start saying was big things. I thought you meant small.
Is it oboe? It's fair. It's not too huge. It's not like a bassoon. Anyway,
It's not a
so
trombone.
it's not a trombone. So she's a oboe player, and she
Is
gets.
the oboe the circular horn? In other words,
No, the oboe is just like a long. It's like a flute, but you play it downwards instead of sideways.
I guess I don't. Maybe I was thinking of something else.
Are you thinking of the big, huge? I don't know what that thing's called.
How do you spell an oboe? Oboe fingering chart.
OBOE.
Okay, I see, you know what an oboe is. Not what I anticipated an oboe to look like.
You're thinking of a French horn
Yeah.
or a tuba. Yeah,
Well,
I think you're thinking of a French horn.
you said blow a Pikachu, so I thought a French whore.
Pikachu. That reminds me of this French whore I once knew. So she gets this girl gets hired almost. Okay, so it's about her, and she's like a oh, she's an oboe teacher, and she's trying to work professionally as a player, and doing some she's working like in some smaller like plays or whatever, doing in the orchestra. But the New York Symphony gets a new conductor, and she kind of almost accidentally gets hired. So it's about her relationship with all the members of the New York, what do they call it? New York Philharmonic Orchestra or
Philharmonic,
whatever they are.
yeah.
And kind of the changing of the guard from the old conductor, who is Roddy McDowall, I think, plays him, and this new conductor. It's good. It's an interesting show. I'm enjoying it, even though I don't know a lot about.
You don't
I
know
don't
a
know a
lot
lot
about what?
about. I said the wrong person too. It's not Roddy McDowall. It's what
What's
the hell is his
good?
name?
It's good because
Because he's probably dead.
you no, you didn't come across the it blanked out for the recorder blanked out for a little bit, and it didn't. I couldn't
Oh,
hear what
see,
you said. So
oh,
you
good.
just screwed it up though by saying it afterwards.
I don't know what you're talking about. Malcolm McDowell. That's what I meant to say. There's too many
McDowells
in this world.
One was in Fright Night. Roddy. Rodney.
Roddy.
Roddy.
So yeah, so Malcolm McDowell plays the conductor who's leaving. And then Bernadette Peters is in it as well. She's she's like kind of the boss of the orchestra, like on the management side. So it's good. It's really well done. As I said, I've been very impressed by all the. So I'm gonna watch this one, and then when I finish this one, I'm gonna watch that Bosch.
Oh, Barb show. Watched the Bosch.
The Bosch Man.
Yeah, she watched that.
So I think I'll watch that one next.
Based on a book, right?
Yeah, I think so. So I'm liking those. Oh, and I started watching that Kimmy Schmidt show. It's like a half hour sitcom. On that's a Netflix show. That's not an Amazon show. That's a Netflix show. Yeah, there's a Kimmy Schmidt on Netflix. That's about a woman who has spent the past 15 years, I think, in an underground bunker with four other women and their cult leader who told them that the world had ended. So he told these, he got these women to go into this bunker with him, and he told them the world had ended and they were trapped in this bunker. So he was kind of raising them in this bunker, but then they got rescued by the squat team. the high school squat team.
I never heard of a squat team, Bill. Now you got my interest.
The squat team. Really? I was on my squat team in high school, so.
What do you do? You do a lot of squats?
A lot of squats, yeah, a lot of squats.
It's like.
So they get rescued, and then it's about her.
To prepare yourself for shitting in the woods or what? Just
quads and things. So you can squat.
Yeah.
Squatting is good for lots of things.
I'm sure it is. Builds up morale.
You can rescue. It's good for rescuing people from bunkers.
You get good at like teabagging somebody at a convention if you share a room with somebody.
Yeah, you can like hover. You can hover over them for hours. Hours. Yeah, you have good control too. Like you can move it. You can adjust up, down. Like you can get them like right. Like if you want to go over the eyes, maybe you're like down, right in the nostrils.
They wake up and they got a ball sack right in their face.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you're not in good shape, then you don't know when they're going to wake up. So you could be there for a while.
Can't
2-3 hours.
It could be 8 hours if they really out of it and drunk.
Yeah, if it's like Keith Knudsen, you don't know when he's going to
wake
up again. Yeah, if he's going to wake up. Oh, God. Yeah, I'm not going to... Yeah, you might be doing him a service. The smell could wake him.
The smell.
Raise him.
If you accidentally are squatting and you cut a fart.
That's right.
Yeah.
Plus, when the person wakes up, you got to be able to get out of there quick.
That's right. You have to leap out.
You have to leap. So it's good if your quads are... Like steel.
You should put that in one of your plots, like a squat club. Like
squat club.
Squat.
I'm gonna write that down.
Squat.
We'll put that in my new book. My new book, Squat Club, coming out this fall from Random House. Squirt. Ooh, not Squirt Club. That's a totally different club.
Did you Google that or what?
I'm afraid to search for that Squirt Club. I kind of want to, though.
Clear history.
I don't want to. Make sure the kids aren't around. Ooh, Squirt Club. That is definitely a club. How do you spell squat? Squat. There we go.
S-Q-A-T? Squat?
Man, you have to be... That would be a good bit. Where you're trying to find the squat club and you accidentally walk into the squirt club room.
The squirt club.
The squirt club.
You could even title your comic book that, Squat Club.
Squat Club, yeah. Squat Club, fantastic.
I think Micah would think that we've gone off the rails with this show.
I think Micah thought that long ago. Yes. Oh, so Kimmy Schmidt. Yeah, I like it. I've watched two episodes. So it's about her. So she's rescued from this bunker, and now she's decided to stay or move to New York City. So it's about her being this innocent person trapped in the 80s who is now living in New York City and trying to survive. It's a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Comedy. And it stars the woman who was, I think she played the secretary on The Office.
Oh, the redhead one?
Yeah, the redhead.
Oh.
So I guess I'm watching a lot of shows with ex-office people.
They all went to work for Amazon.
Amazon and Netflix. They're all streaming now.
It's the future, don't you think?
Streaming shows?
Yeah.
Seems to be. It's much more convenient. And they seem to be very well done, so. I think they have probably have less constraints on them. And they're able to do things that they wouldn't be able to get away with on network TV in terms of storylines. Like, you're not going to have a story about the New York Philharmonic Orchestra on network TV. You probably wouldn't have a show about a transgender person either.
Mm-hmm.
On network TV.
Any other TV shows?
Not that I can think of.
Movies? I got nothing.
Movies? I don't remember what I watched recently. I did see Fury, which you talked about on DC Noise. I liked that.
I liked that one a lot.
That was good because... It was weird, though, because it was kind of just like two big action scenes.
Yeah, the action scene at the end is huge, and then the action scene with the tiger tank. Yeah. Oh, my God. It makes you want to learn more about tanks, that scene, though, because it's, like, so powerful. Like, that German tank, like, the shells are just not doing shit to it.
I know. It's like... How do we ever win that?
I mean, that German tank, like, takes out two tanks before they even could turn around.
Yeah, I guess we just had the numbers.
Well, they knew the weak spot was the speed of those things. So the Sherman tanks could move faster.
Right. Oh, yeah. So they ended up, like...
But I wonder in history how we realized that the weakness was, you know, don't attack it from the front.
Right.
Because they armored the shit out of it in the front. Harley goes in and out, in and out. What else?
I'm looking. What else did I watch? I thought I watched something else. Oh, I did. I watched Dear White People.
Dear White People.
Yes. It is about a... It takes place at a college, and the main character is this woman who hosts a radio show where she starts out saying, "Dear White People." And then they say stuff about things that white people shouldn't do. And I should have written down some examples. Oh, like one is like, you don't have to touch the hair of every black person you know, or things like that. So social etiquette when dealing with other races.
Is it a what is this thing? What's the type of movie?
The genre? It's a comedy.
Okay.
And it talks about, it's a lot about, it's pretty much dealing with race, but like in a humorous way. Dealing with, because like, there's different, I guess there are like, I don't know if they're fraternities or groups at the school. But there's like, one of them is like mostly black, and they're talking about if like they should allow other races in or whatever. And then the woman who hosts the radio show is dating a white guy, but she kind of is like keeping it kind of secret because she's afraid it conflicts with her. She's very outspoken for, you know, black rights. So it's interesting. It's coming at it from a lot of different angles. And it's done really well, so it's an enjoyable movie. It was good. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I don't remember the last movie I watched. I used to keep track of when we used to have the forums. I used to keep track of the movies I watched. Now I don't keep track anymore.
I keep track of your comics. Although I haven't seen you post your comic reviews in a while.
I posted a few. I read a lot of Valiants. I think I posted Hellbreak. Oh, you mean the reviews? Yeah, I forgot.
Just a list. Your list of.
I forgot to do last week's.
Your numbers.
Oh, I did want to say one book that I didn't like and I used to love, or used to really like the art, was Dark Engine. It came back, and man, that was some wasted art space.
You didn't like the art, or you didn't like the story?
No, the story was bad. It didn't even focus on our woman that's bouncing out of animal intestines, you know. Uh-huh. it focused on like the history of like this Cthulhu monster and stuff. And the one thing that really just made me kind of upset about it was there were like six pages. It was trying to show that this monster was coming up from the depths, but they were using double page spreads, okay?
Uh-huh.
The first one, double page spread, totally black. There's nothing in the art.
Okay.
The next double page spread is like this blurry thing in the center, and you can't really tell what the hell it is. And then the third double page spread is the monster. That's six fucking pages. For something that's showing, like, you know, motion of it moving. And it totally took me out of the story. And then it was the way the story was being told, it was like it seemed like it was by a campfire, and there were just a lot of talking, but it was dark and muddled, and there was no like there was no like any of those splashes that I like to see of that crazy woman with the skull on her, you know, with the bone axe, and there was none of that. Yeah. And those 6 pages really, like, that was so, I know what they were going for, but to do double page spread for that, like, why couldn't they have done that like with the long panels and did it all in one page? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that
it's like three that long panels, just as like well. Dark, because you're wasted space with the dark. You know, I know what you're trying to show.
Yeah, why would that? Why wouldn't that have worked as well on one page? Because you still see the dark, and then you see a little bit, and then you see the creature. And then the next page, you could have a full page of just the monster.
Yeah. Weird. That was weird. And so that one, I read Holy Fuck number 2 because I must have pre-ordered. I thought it was better than the first one. The first one had good stories and was extreme. Well, this one's extreme, and it didn't do a lot of the weird art. Like, it looked more like complete art, so I was happier with it.
Okay.
Oh, Joe Frankenstein number 1. That was good. That was really good. It was by Chuck Dixon and Graham Nolan, which the creators of Bane. It's an IDW book.
Okay.
And it was really cool. A pizza boy ends up delivering pizza, and it's one of those things where if he doesn't get there in 20 minutes, he has to give the pizza for free. But he gets there late because of weather. You know, it's like blizzard-like conditions. And he gets there, and a bunch of beautiful women answer the door, and they let him in, and it turns out they're like vampires, and they're going to – They didn't really order the pizza. That he like looks around and he says, "I'll put the pizza in the kitchen. You get it for free." And he looks around and he's like, "God damn, it smells in here." And he's like, "Man, these women are hot, but they can't keep the house. Everything's just shot to shit and doesn't look right." Mm-hmm. And they want to suck his blood, so they go after him, and then Frankenstein just comes down the door. And it turns out that this guy is the ancestor of Dr. Frankenstein, and the Frankenstein monster is there to protect him. And he pretty much gives him this device, kind of like Jimmy Olsen's watch, to say, anytime you need me, no matter where you are, you just signal this watch, and I'll be there for you. And it's really good. I really like Joe Frankenstein. That was a good book. And I'll post my reviews. Darth Vader number 2 was really good too. And then I've been reading a lot of the Valiant stuff and enjoying that. But I need to post last week's. You're right. I forgot. And I won't be here the next weekend because I'll be on vacation. So we'll have to wait until like April to record.
For the next one. Yeah. Yep, that works. Yeah, I'm actually going to be gone too, so on the 29th.
All right. You didn't buy Joe Frankenstein?
I have to look. I'm not sure if I did or not. Let me pull up my files. Yeah, when would that have been solicited? January? Let's see. Joe. I don't see it. Let's look at December. Joe. Joe Frankenstein. I did not.
Ah.
Fool. I'm a fool.
What a fool. What a fool.
I almost did, but I didn't. I don't know why I didn't.
Well, this one's going to be fun to edit because we have like 4 episodes I have to splice together.
Uh-oh. Work.
Yeah. I'll probably release this one on Wednesday. Even though I was planning on the next week, but I'll leave it. I'll put it out before I leave. So, where can they reach us, Bill? Or is there any food?
They can reach us at food. Let's see, food.
You have
food.
Barbecue or anything?
That's not, I mean, I smoked that grass, but besides that, I have not barbecued. I need to get more. I need to exchange my propane tank.
The way you describe food and like eating, it's like you eat the same thing.
I do eat a lot of the same thing. Creature of habit, I suppose.
Yeah. You don't like to explore whatsoever. I ate some good pot roasts and mashed potatoes and green beans yesterday from the Black Bear restaurant. I am a fan of this restaurant. Last week I ate there too, and I ate shit on a shingle except with turkey.
Turkey
on a shingle.
Turkey shit on a thing.
Yes, turkey shit on a shingle. So, you can reach Bill at DBM00, and he's standing by. He's like he stands by anxiously awaiting for your tweets. He sits there waiting for tweets.
I do. I have them plugged into my cortex.
I'm at Mike Myers Brunch. Micah is still off in Japan, and he's at @do_what. And we're at thegeekbrunchpodcast.com. And Facebook page is Geek Brunch Podcast. And you can click the like button. You can see what Bill recommends for your preview selections.
Yes, I posted my previews, my top previews picks.
And I post my rankings on there usually, but I got delinquent. And we have the shows on there as well. And you can find Retrocast on there as well. And what else is going on? We have emails. Mike, mm-hmm. Bill, and Micah at comicbooknoise.com. And we did get an email from somebody, and I know you were copied on it, about digital Marvel Unlimited.
Yes, someone was asking if any of us...
It was Stephen Evers. He listens to us, Geek Brunch, and I guess Geek Brunch Retrocast, and was asking, do we subscribe to Marvel Unlimited? He likes it a lot, and he says it's about 6 months behind, but they put most of the stuff out there. I don't do it because my iPad won't take it, because I have first-generation iPad, but...
I don't do it because I don't like digital comics.
I mean, neither.
But I think it's an awesome thing.
It is an awesome idea, and I would subscribe to it. Where I would like use the shit out of it is like on trips and stuff, because you don't want to lug your books and everything with you. You could just pop open a Marvel Unlimited and read a couple of back issues.
Yeah, no, I think it's an awesome.
It's one. Also a good reference, so you don't have to dive into boxes and stuff if you want to go reread something, or you want to remember something that happened, you could just pull up the issue and check it out. Yeah, and then they have that Scribd, that new one, but I haven't tried that at all. I tried, but it said enter the credit card information. I'm like, fucking, I don't want to do that. I hate when people say you could do this for free, but put your credit card in there. So we can charge you next month, and then you have to like go through all kinds of shit to cancel. No, I don't like that. If you're going to give me a...
Scribd is... That's one of the reading one, the books.
Yeah, but they have comics in there now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Marvel, IDW, Tasha, Valiant, and more.
And so we did get an email. Somebody took advantage of our emails, believe it or not. What about that?
It does work.
It does work. You can email. And I think that's all the contact information we have.
Yeah.
And look for Bill's cassette tapes because he wants to be retro. Like he wants to take advantage of that Guardians of the Galaxy thing. Look for his cassette tapes.
That's because the quality of a cassette tape, like the audio quality, it can't be captured on a CD.
Yeah.
You just can't capture the same quality as those wonderful cassettes. Cassette decks.
So look for the cassette tapes about how to discipline your animals.
Mm-hmm. The new one's coming out. And if you want to, if anyone wants to subscribe to the my Squat Club mailing list, you can just shoot me an email. I'll get you set up there. Get tips, daily tips, squat tips, daily squat tips.
If you sign up for that $10 membership, you get a picture of Bill squatting over somebody's face. And you actually get the video, and you actually could see that he could do it for more than an hour. So he's just like squatting over somebody's face for 1 hour. That's pretty fucking impressive.
Thank you.
I was fortunate enough to watch the video, and man, it's long, and you're waiting for the payoff, and you never get it. But it's because the guy didn't wake up.
I ran out of tape in the recorder.
Yeah, but yep. It is. Well,
it'll get everyone ready for Heroes.
I thought it was gonna be like that damn movie you made me watch. Where the ending was at the Satan's baby or what the fuck was that movie? The Hammer of Satan? What the fuck was that movie called? Antichrist.
Oh, Antichrist.
It's kind of like...
It's like Antichrist Christ without the payoff at the end.
Without the payoff at the end.
Staring at a flower.
Yeah, that's right.
In this case,
you're staring at naked Bill right over somebody's face. Wait for him to wake up.
I had a G-string on.
I couldn't see it. It was one of those really skinny
really
ones.
Really tight speedos. Yeah. Really small
speedos. All right, so look out for that. And $10 membership.
Squatting attire.
And you could get certified.
Yeah, squat certified.
Yeah, you could put that on your resume.
If you're really good, you may get the Golden Balls Award for the year. One member will get the coveted Golden Balls Award.
Yes. Make sure to send Bill email if you're interested. Mm-hmm. Or you can send him a tweet. At DBM00, I'm interested in your squatting. And then make sure you put pound squat club, you know, so we can start trending. Get it out there. Cause we think this is really,
yes, we will.
Especially we expect it to be really popular with the fraternities and sororities. Mm-hmm. Really popular.
Yeah, we'll be hitting the colleges soon with our tour.
Instructional.
Squatting across America.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, this has been fun, and we'll talk to you again in a while, Bill.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Disco. She got the boom, shake the room, that's the lightning and the the thunder, you wanna meet her, you wanna touch her.